Aloha family, welcome back to the Borifuli podcast. My name is G Sunny. I am so delighted and grateful to be sharing in this space with you today. And if you did not know yet, this podcast comes with the intention of holding down the space, of holding the space to experience more love, more magic, more inspiration, more awe, and to really dive into this awareness that we are constantly on this path of expansion. And as we explore the true nature of who we are, I would love for you to accept my invitation at this point in time to come back to your breath now. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, just noticing your breath where you notice it and setting the intention to be fully present, to bring yourself completely into this moment, so that you can experience with me the gifts that you are here to experience today in this moment. My deepest desire for you today is that you walk away with a greater awareness, more clarity and understanding of who you are and of your potential, and perhaps being lit up or feeling that spark inside of what it means to really, really, truly be alive today. Today's episode, my friends, is about perfectionism. Specifically, I was thinking about lately how I don't really allow myself to celebrate my wins. So I was thinking about this as a, I don't want to say a consequence, but as an after effect, an aftermath of having a conversation about how I tend to be on this, I don't know, it feels like a hamster wheel, but I'm on this path where, or I have been, where I will constantly strive to achieve. So getting my doctorate was probably one of my biggest wins. Getting licensed as a psychologist was also another win. And I know if you've listened to some of my other podcasts, you will know why being a psychologist right now in this time is something that I think happened as an act of cowardice, but I'm not going to get derailed here. I've been thinking about why I don't celebrate my wins, why the most difficult thing to achieve in my life, up until this point anyway, getting my PhD, I think the statistics, I forget, don't quote me, it's like the percentage of the human population now that gets a doctorate is under 5%, and I forget exactly what that number is. But if I'm in that low percentage of people that actually strive and achieve to get the doctorate, I remember I think I had 12 people in my graduating class that applied and got accepted for a PhD. And I think there were only two of us that actually ended up being able to successfully graduate with a PhD. So I know this is a huge win for me. I know this is a huge achievement, but for whatever reason, I won't let myself celebrate it. I won't let myself celebrate being licensed. Passing that exam was a major win. And I know the majority of people who take the licensing exam actually don't pass the first time. So the fact that I am here today as a licensed psychologist with a doctorate, having achieved so many other things, I forgot that I published a book. There are so many things in my life that I do not allow myself to celebrate. Why? Why do I allow myself, or maybe at this point in time, I can acknowledge that I push myself to be humble instead of allowing myself to be proud? As you all know, the human experience exists in such a way that we are able to grasp reality within our little tiny brains because we can see distinctions and polarities. So you wouldn't understand what hot felt like if you didn't really truly understand what cold feels like. So the human experience only exists in the dual one, or the dual modality. I don't know if that's even the right phrase, but in the dual frame of mind, because we can't truly understand an experience unless we understand its opposite or its absence. And so for me, when I think about forcing myself to be humble, putting and prioritizing humility for as long as I could remember up until recently, it comes at the cost of constantly doubting myself. The product, if you will, of leaning extremely, whether it's the right or let's just say the left, extremely to the left of being humble versus allowing yourself to bounce back and forth, or maybe perhaps integrate being both humble and proud of yourself at the same time, the expense of leaning towards humility constantly is the constant, incessant doubt. I doubt myself constantly. Maybe it's because I fear being proud or vain because I grew up with so many adult role models of what it meant to be narcissistic. Maybe I have this fear of failing. I mean, when I really truly consider it, the things outside of my natural inclination. So I am naturally good at performing academically. I might be naturally okay listening to producing music, for example. I'm not great at it by any means, but music is a natural tendency for me. So I can dance a lot easier than people who don't have that tendency. I can sing or produce or play the piano in a way. I mean, I had to practice, obviously, learn how to play, but music comes naturally to me. Academics comes naturally to me. Speaking to you on this podcast does not come naturally to me. So for a really long time, I would hide behind a screen or hide behind pencil and paper. I could write. Writing comes naturally to me. Expressing myself in that way comes naturally to me. But outside of those things that I'm naturally inclined towards, I don't try 100%. You'll find that in my past, and hopefully this is something I've come to change 180 degrees, but in my past, the things that I'm not good at were things that I did not put a lot of effort into. This way, if I failed, it meant it's because I didn't try, not because I'm not good at it. But the thing is, it's all really tied to me, for me, when I look back in hindsight is 2020, in that my sense of self-worth, my value is extremely entangled in whether or not I'm good at something and whether or not I can say that I've successfully achieved certain things in my life. And maybe the reason why I don't allow myself to celebrate my wins, like getting a PhD, like getting licensed, like publishing a book, isn't because I don't think that they're good enough. Maybe it's because they're not my expectations. Maybe up until this point in my life, I haven't allowed myself to celebrate my quote-unquote big wins because in my heart of hearts, I know they're not aligned to what truly makes me feel alive. And so I've adopted, through the conditioning of my childhood, like we all go through, I've adopted this mindset that I need to be perfect. And for a really long time, I did not acknowledge this perfectionistic tendency. And although perfectionism will rear its very beautiful face in many different ways, I've come to find that perfectionistic tendencies is the greatest, for me, has been the greatest barrier to feeling happy, to allowing myself to truly experience joy. This may or may not be the reason why you continue tripping yourself up and why you don't feel bliss on a day-to-day basis. It was definitely for me. I'm going to go over a list of 7 things that I've come to realize and acknowledge at this point in my life, the way that perfectionistic tendencies or perfectionism has shown up in my life. And I'm wondering how many of these things you feel like you can resonate with, how many of these things show up in your day to day. And the more of these, I'm going to list 7. So let's say 4 or more. The more of these variables, the more of these particular examples show up in your life, the more you resonate with it, the more you see it, the more you will probably come to the point of realizing that perfectionism is something that does get in your way of truly accepting joy. So let's kick off the list of 7 here. not in any particular order. The first thing that I've noticed in people that have perfectionistic tendencies is that we see things black and white. You did or you didn't. You do or you don't. You are or you're not. There is no gray. So I remember for the longest time in a lot of my relationships, the things that I would trip up over, the things that would create so much resentment, is that I could not see in color. I would only see in black and white. And so, for example, if someone failed to show up on time for our dinner, maybe they were 20 minutes late. They failed. It wasn't that they came with a caveat of being late, but they failed to show up. And for me, being on time was extremely important at one point in my life. And so if you showed up late, I was livid. I would become offended, insulted, and you just don't care. You don't care because you're 20 minutes late. That's the mindset that I had. Instead of seeing things in a flexible way, in the gray. And I think that takes me to the second thing on the list, which is flexibility. If you have a perfectionistic tendency, you will see that you have an extremely difficult time either being flexible or compromising. And I think this goes hand in hand with one, but it's slightly different. So if you find yourself being in your relationships with either others or yourself, really rigid in the way that you think, or you have to get your point across and your point is always right, understand that this probably or might be a result of being or having this perfectionistic tendency, wanting perfectionism in your life. Third on the list, again, no particular order, if you very much prioritize and value perfectionism, you are most likely extremely critical or judgmental of yourself and others. And you'll know that this is true if you find yourself judging the way others talk, the way others think, the way others feel or dress, and as within, so without, right? The more you realize that you're judging others outside of you in your quote-unquote reality, the more you probably judge yourself. You are just projecting this particular state or habit or pattern onto others. And so if you are very critical of yourself, maybe you don't allow yourself to celebrate your wins, or maybe you don't leave enough space or room in your life to have compassion for yourself and others, and or you most likely have a perfectionistic tendency. Again, this is no like hard rule that this has to come from a desire to be a perfectionist, but I'm listing this, the seven that I've come to know. So take what resonates and see how many of these really, really, truly does resonate. And if you see a core group of maybe four or more of the ones that I list today, perhaps you might become more aware of the tendency that you have to need something to be perfect. Number four, that sign that you have perfectionism in your life is that you never meet your goals. Not gonna lie, I'm going to be completely transparent and honest. The majority of my goals, for as long as I have set them, as long as I have learned about SMART goals or SMART plus goals, is that I do not meet all of them. I do not meet the majority of them. And this is because I set really unrealistic goals and expectations, specifically the time frame that I give myself. So if you tend to have perfectionistic tendencies, you will find that A, you don't meet your goals because you set them really high and it's unrealistic, or B, you get stuck on things needing to be a certain way, so you don't actually move on your goals. So you probably think about your goals a lot. You think about how you might do better. You think about how you could have improved yesterday, or you think about how things are unfair, or you think about how if this, then that. If such and such would have happened, then that, right? So this is the part of you that gets stuck with things needing to be a certain way, so you actually don't move towards your goals. You get stuck in either expectations or fears. Sign number five that you tend to be perfectionistic is that you find yourself being extremely obsessive over things or people for longer periods of time than you probably, in hindsight, would deem very helpful. Sign number six that you tend to have this is that you procrastinate a lot. If you're anything like me, you've probably set specific tasks on your to-do list, and instead of doing it on Monday like you decided, you push it off to Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, things inevitably came up and you didn't get to them, so you push them off to Wednesday. And then on Wednesday, you realize the day has totally come and gone, don't know where the time went, and so you keep pushing that to-do list, that task off, and you go weeks and months without doing simple tasks. This is probably because you have perfectionistic tendencies. The seventh and final thing on my list is having a fear of making mistakes. If you feel the most vulnerable after having made a mistake versus, for example, maybe standing on stage and performing in front of people, if you feel the most vulnerable and have a fear of making mistakes, of failing, then you probably have a perfectionistic tendency. And again, just having one of these things doesn't necessarily mean that you fall into this particular pattern or trap, but I wanted to give you a list of different ways that I've seen perfectionism actually show up in my life and other people's lives. So maybe you can begin to resonate and see which ones land for you, which ones actually sound more like your life than someone else's life. So I'm going to review the seven real quick so you understand what that is. And then let's go over what you can do if you fall into that perfectionistic trap. What I've come to find is the most helpful for me when we come across this perfectionistic tendency. So the first on that list was you tend to see things as black and white. The second on that list was you have a hard time being flexible or compromising. The third, you're extremely critical or judgmental of yourself or others. The fourth on the list is you never meet your goals, or you very rarely meet your goals. Number five, you find yourself obsessing over things or people for very long periods of time. Number six, you tend to procrastinate a lot. And then number seven, finally, you have this fear of making mistakes, or you feel the most vulnerable after having made a mistake. If a lot of these sound familiar to you, you probably fall into that pattern of having perfectionism rule your life. And that's probably one of your greatest, if not your first, barrier to happiness. So what can you do if you find yourself in this space? The one thing that I have found, and you can breathe and relax, it's not meditating, it's not journaling, although they're extremely, extremely helpful. But I think the biggest bang for your buck when you tend to fall into this need to have perfectionism run your life, perfectionism run your mindset, if you have a lot of these things on that list, the first and foremost thing that I'm going to encourage you to focus on is to fail. It's to go out with the intention of failing. I know this sounds really scary, but it doesn't have to be. It can be something really, really small. So let's pretend you notice that a lot of these are things that come up in your life, and you're beginning to wonder whether, like me, perfectionism has been the greatest barrier to happiness, if not one of. The thing that helps the most and the quickest is to literally do something with the intention of failing. And when we do this, what happens is we actually allow ourselves to begin to rewire our brains. So we are beginning to create new experiences for our brains, novel experiences that allow our brains to begin to work their circuits in a different way. So for example, something that comes to my mind when I think about allowing myself to explore something with the intention of failing was learning to play with tarot. So I remember for maybe 2 or 3 years, I was obsessed with tarot. I could not put my cards down. Even if I wasn't playing specifically, intentionally, on purpose, prioritizing my attention on tarot, I had to have the cards moving in my hands. I don't know what it was, but I was drawn to these cards. But for whatever reason, when it came time to do a reading, for example, if I were to do it for someone else, I would freeze because I needed to be right. I needed to be perfect. So the thing that I've come to find helps the most with this, especially as I'm thinking about my example with tarot, is I made the switch in my mindset. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it on purpose with the intention to fail. So I would literally line up my tarot cards and practice reading for someone with the intention of failing. And I would stretch myself so much that it was actually beginning to allow my curiosity, my imagination muscles to begin to work. It allowed me to tap into a different state of brain waves and frequency that actually, pushed me over the edge and off that cliff of perfectionism. So yes, meditating is extremely helpful. Yes, journaling is extremely helpful if you want to dive into why perfectionism has been so important in your life. Maybe the idea of having more awareness of where it came from appeals to you. If that's the case, meditating, journaling, yes, 100%. I vouch for the importance of those two. But if you want to just do away with perfectionism, if you want to get to the point like I have, where you literally are walking outside your house, about to go on a walk with your dog, and a sense of bliss comes over you, where your baseline is no longer anxious or stressed or judgmental, but instead the baseline of the baseline, having removed perfectionism, comes to a state of joy, contentment, acceptance, play. If those are things that you want to feel more consistently, if that's where you want your baseline to be, I highly encourage and invite you to do this exercise once a week. It doesn't have to be every day. Once a week, it can be something really small. It doesn't have to be this huge thing where your finances or your family or your relationships depend on it. But find the one thing that you can do on purpose with the intention of failing. The only caveat is when you go into it with the intention of failing, you add to that clause something like, and I invite the bonus of experiencing something new and wonderful. That's it. That's all you need to do. I hope that was helpful for you. This is something that's been on my mind and I wanted to share with you. Especially since for me, what lights me up is to see you become more aware that your sense of joy, your sense of purpose and clarity and direction really truly does come from within. It's always an inside job. And if I can make your inside job a little bit easier, a little bit more playful, that truly does light me up. So if you know of any others on that list of perfectionistic tendencies, please feel free to reach out to me. It's jisun@bodhifully.com, jisun@bodhifully.com. I am so excited that I get to share this with you today, and I invite you to reach out to me with any feedback, thoughts, comments, questions. I love hearing your I'm reading your emails, but you can also feel free to add to the comments. With that being said, if you found this episode valuable, if you resonated and you took something away, may I ask you to take a second to go onto iTunes or whatever platform you listen to your podcast and give it a rating, give it a review. This really does help the podcast circulate and for others to find this content like you did for yourself. I thank you so much for joining me here today. I am sending you peace and love. I will see you guys on the other side.
Here we go.